friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to
say. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover. Vic Carucci with you from Radio Row, Super Bowl 48, heart of Manhattan. Yeah, that's the game. Little game is taking place Sunday. Denver Broncos, Seattle Seahawks. We will get into some talk about the game itself, but in the meantime, it is all the pregame stuff. We just had a chat with Joe Ganascoli, actor who was on The Sopranos. He played Vito, the character Vito. Actually played a couple of characters, as he pointed out, Gino in the early Sopranos. I think the series, season one or two. Season one. It might have been. And then right around season five, he talked about his demise, how that was coming up in the script. You know, and that had to think about that when you're going through that life as an actor. That whole show is about a lot of people getting knocked off. And you can get knocked off in the script.
Right. At any time.
At any time in a show. And they don't tell you when it's coming. You know, you just.
Right.
By the way, Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns Backers Worldwide. It's free to join, the biggest organized fan club in all of sports, and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. We're going to have Doug Deacon join us in about 10 minutes or so from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Want to get Doug's take on the Browns hiring of Mike Pettine. We have not had him weigh in on that yet, and that is going to be coming your way. Also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You want to dial us up. You want to join the conversation, and we want to hear from you. We want to get your thoughts on what is happening with the coordinator position or not happening with it. But, you know, a name that has been tossed around, and Matt Fontana mentioned it in the update, Kyle Shanahan. He didn't talk about Kyle Shanahan. He talked about Bill Callahan from the Cowboys. But I want to also talk about Kyle Shanahan, but Bill Callahan from the Cowboys. Now, the latest I heard about him, though, or read about him, was that he may choose not to take anything regardless of what happens to him in Dallas, because there is some thought that he could be on his way out there.
That Bill Callahan could be on his way out of Dallas.
Out of Dallas.
Yeah, if they bring in Scott Linehan, which is kind of the rumor that Linehan would be hired to replace him.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind the Browns talking to Linehan, first of all. Second of all, I thought he did a pretty good job with the Dallas offense this year. DeMarco Murray had his best season running the football. Des Bryant had another solid year. Didn't use the tight end, Jason Witten, as much. Tried to get a little bit more balance in that offense there. He's a guy who's known for running because his background is as more of an offensive line coach than it is as just a pure coordinator. So he likes to work with the honkers up front, get the football running. He's a name. The other name you mentioned, Kyle Shanahan, who had good success in Houston, went to Washington. Obviously, this year things kind of fell apart with RG3, I think, coming back too soon. But last year, certainly a very good offense. Knows how to design a running game from his father, obviously, Mike Shanahan. Alfred Morris has been very successful in that offense. They know how to feed a number one receiver. Pierre Garçon set the franchise record for receptions this season with the Redskins. So he's an intriguing name, because now the talk is that it will be Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison as the quarterback's coach, but that Shanahan will not be on the staff, and it is being said immediately that he is going to be a candidate for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I would think he's certainly worth
That's more proven. I like that a little bit better.
The conversation. Yeah, he is a little more proven. And it wouldn't, to me, it would not be the worst thing in the world to go down that road. Now, things did go sideways in a major way with RG3. So that does concern me. But I also look at it that he's a guy who had some pretty good credentials prior to heading to Washington. Yes, he did work with his dad, and his dad, that relationship, father-son coaching relationship, I don't know what those dynamics are. Sometimes you wonder if that could be a negative, because you're working with your father and anything you do is judged against that. And are you getting opportunities that others don't get because you're a guy's son, or does the father treat you differently? Does he, is he harsher in his judgments of you than other coaches and the staff? Is it, do other members of the coaching staff have a wary eye toward you because your dad
sure.
is either the head coach or, in the case of the Browns, you had North Turner running the offense with Scott Turner, and his son is the receivers coach. Throughout the year, I can't recall of any real serious issues, and there was some buzz at the end of the season that part of the reason that Rob Chudzinski got fired was that there was going to be a reassignment of Scott Turner that Norv objected to, and I was told that that was not, there was nothing to that. So I don't know. That came out. You saw the same thing.
Right.
So things like that do happen, but this would be a case where Kyle Shanahan, if he were to join the Browns, working with, obviously, with Mike Pettine, I don't know what any other connection might be, but I see a guy who would understand about what you want to maximize from a pass game. The only concern, though, might be from an offensive line perspective, because he's been raised in an offense by his father that did deal with zone blocking. Would that
yes.
require a big turnover, changeover from what the Browns are doing? And I think the answer is yes.
Yes, but it could be a good turnover or changeover
right.
because it wasn't a good run blocking line as it was this year, which we
True.
Noted. I'll say this about Kyle Shanahan, because I remember these stats before the RG3 came in 2012. He was the offensive coordinator in 2010, 2011. In those 3 years, the quarterbacks of the Redskins were John Beck, Donovan McNabb, and Rex Grossman, and that was the number 8 passing offense in the NFL over those years. So he knows how to design a passing game. He is very much a guy who believes in utilizing the tight end, which is good for Jordan Cameron. He flexed out Jordan Reed. We saw have great success there, Fred Davis before him.
Right.
So he does a lot of the things that fit what the Browns personnel is likely to be at the end of this year very, very effectively. So I think that that's good. I certainly would love to see the Browns kick the tires on him as a potential OC candidate.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how that might work out, and at least you've got someone with a recognizable name, with a recognizable background, and that would, you know, that much would at least matter for a lot of us who might have the concern of, okay, who are they going to get? What kind of track record does this coach have? And again, you're Mike Pettine. Who are you able to bring in? Who is going to respond to your taking over a team and your credentials or lack thereof? You're getting your first time shot here, and to pull from his background, to pull from anyone with whom he worked in Baltimore, the possibility there would be, say, maybe a Matt Kavanaugh. But beyond that, no one from the Jets, certainly no one from the Bills. You're looking at Nathaniel Hackett there. He's not pulling him away because he's got that gig in Buffalo. So there's no guy that he can say, okay, you're with me, we're in this together, and bring him forth to the Cleveland Browns. So how that's going to work out, we don't know. We're going to let the week play out. Now, what I was told earlier by a couple of people today that I spoke with, that the possibility of the Browns making any of these moves, nothing was near being completed, but we're all on kind of high alert for this entire week to see what might happen, and that if you hear any announcements, that they could come, as it was described to me, in chunks, that it would be Mike Pettine's preference to announce a few hires at once rather than, okay, here's our defensive coordinator, here's our offensive coordinator, here's our linebackers coach. I think the defensive staff is going to come together pretty quickly.
I think that side, as you pointed out, will come together quickly. I think that it is interesting that Kyle Shanahan was strongly linked to be, number one, the offensive coordinator finalist in Baltimore, then number two, to be part of this super staff, and all of a sudden he's the one name that's out. It makes you think he's going to be a guy who wants to get his own system and run his own show, which I think could be very good for the Browns.
Yeah, exactly. If that is the case, then, you know, we'll see what that might mean in the long run. Interesting note here, by the way, and we're going to bring Doug Deacon along shortly here and get his thoughts on the hiring of Mike Pettine. But CBSSports.com reporting that Roger Goodell came very close to canceling the Pro Bowl, that he was real close, and I guess this came from Dominique Foxworth. He's the president of the NFL Players Association, and this was actually appeared in USA Today, but CBSSports.com carried this, is where I saw it. And the quote was, Roger was very serious about potentially canceling the Pro Bowl because apparently it's very expensive and isn't of a ton of value to them, meaning the league. To be honest with you, this is the quote again from Dominique Foxworth, I was completely comfortable with eliminating it until I talked to the players, and they said they loved it and they want to be there. So I think the, quote, vacation that it might be, the opportunity that it is to get away after the season, bring family and friends out to Hawaii as a reward for whatever, the player selection, more or less, or celebratory nature of it all, and to enjoy some Mai Tais out on the Pacific Ocean is a good thing for a lot of the players, or at least certainly the newer players in the league who get to go. I think the guys who've been through it find a way to get out of it, frankly, and a lot of those top players end up being like in the Super Bowl or playing in conference championship games and physically just don't want to get on a plane for a right. long plane ride to Honolulu. But the fact that the commissioner was that close to canceling it and now gave it its, you know, maybe revitalized it with what he did or with what the league did, I should say. He didn't do it alone, but what the league did with these new ideas, that could be a saving grace. I got to ask you this. What did you think of the uniforms?
I loved, loved. Which team was Gordon on?
Team Sanders? Team Rice. Okay.
I liked the white right. and the orange. I thought that could be a nice Browns look, quite frankly, going forward. Team Sanders, a little the gray and the neon, did not love.
No. Yeah.
But the white orange I liked quite a bit.
The orange, and that looked more like in the helmet center. I mean, it looked like an Oregon look a little bit. You know, it had that kind of cool, you know, kind of that out of the box.
Out of the box. Yeah.
They
should. Those are kind of their special celebration uniforms. All right, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joins us next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.